you are, if you just want to bow your head and just join me, and I'm just going to pray. Father, we thank you for what this day represents. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for what you've done for us, Jesus. We thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. And that as we now sit around your word, and as we talk about the beautiful exchange that took place all those thousands of years ago on that cross, we just pray that you would stir our hearts afresh with a revelation of what that means for each and every one of us. Make it personal. Make it something that would really transact with our spirits. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Take your seats, and let's just get around this word right now. And I've entitled my message this morning, The Beautiful Exchange. The Beautiful Exchange. And as I said, today is significant because it's the day where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And if you haven't already worked out, I'm pretty excited about that, as I know that you are as well. And it's a day that Jesus showed that he was who he truly said he was. The day when belief in him and hope in him was truly justified. And what took place on that cross and the subsequent resurrection 2,000 years ago would literally change the world forever. And we are testimony of that standing here today. To think that Jesus had you in mind and had me in mind when he went to that cross. But there was a divine transaction that took place on that cross. A divine rescue mission, a divine exchange, a pure, unadulterated act of selfless love that was poured out from God the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit. And what was intended in that cross to be a cruel and bloody, vicious death would actually end up being something that was beautiful. And that actually spoke about the glory of Jesus as hope burst out of that grave. As Jesus burst out of that grave and actually showed that he truly was the resurrection and the life. A beautiful exchange took place 2,000 years ago. You know, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, Jesus, speaking about his coming death, said this to his disciples. He says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for their soul?" Now, Jesus was kind of pointing to what was actually going to happen on the cross. And he was saying an exchange is going to happen. And it's going to be an exchange like nothing else that the world has to offer. Nothing else that the world has to offer can compare. It's going to be a beautiful, divine exchange. You see, we spend a lot of time trying to exchange our lives for many things in the quest for happiness and contentment and success and companionship and all these things. And we think things like this: if I just earn some more money, or maybe if I work harder, or have a better job, or maybe if I just do more for that person, they'll love me more, and or maybe if I just try and be someone else, that's going to make all the difference. And yet it doesn't take very long for us to realize that exchange doesn't always deliver. In fact, it never delivers. Right now, we know that many of those things have been stripped away. And there's many people that are left kind of wondering that the things that they sowed so much time and energy into, just they haven't given the security and they haven't given the hope, and people are floundering and they're saying, "What do I do?" Well, the reality is that's not the kind of exchange that Jesus was talking about. Those things are temporary. They can only meet a need to a point. But the exchange that we're talking about, that Jesus did for you and I on that cross, was a divine, supernatural, complete, finished exchange. There's nothing else that this world has to offer that can compare with it. You know, the word exchange literally means an act of substituting one for another, a reciprocal giving and receiving. And that's exactly what happened on that Easter Sunday, is that Jesus substituted himself for us, for our sins. And in return, we give of ourselves as we receive this incredible gift of new life. And that's the kind of exchange that we should be on about. That's the kind of exchange that I want to give myself to. Because that has eternal worth. You know, life shows itself over and over again that it can be unpredictable. And we've seen that through this whole COVID-19 pandemic. It wasn't something that was predictable. None of us going into 2020 thought that this was going to be our reality, that this was going to be the things we were facing. We've seen how unpredictable people can be as they've been faced with pressures and those kind of things. And we've seen some of the scenes that have taken place as a result. We never know what's going to happen or what may not happen, because the only certainty in this day and age is uncertainty. And then along comes Jesus. And I love Jesus because he loves to shake things up. And did you know that there are over 300 predictions in the Bible about Jesus? And most of them came hundreds of years before he even walked the earth, pointing to him. And they're very specific too. They're very specific about how he would come and where he would be born and how he would live and how he would die and the bones that would actually be broken on the cross and the beautiful exchange that would ultimately happen for us. You know, according to mathematicians, they've kind of worked out, they clearly have a lot of time on their hands, but they worked out the statistical probability of one man perfectly fulfilling just 8 of those 300 promises and predictions that those prophecies make. And you know that they've worked out that it would be less of a chance of 1 in 100 and then 15 zeros following it. Apparently that's 100 quadrillion. I don't know how much it is, but it's a lot. 100 quadrillion chance that Jesus could actually fulfill all of those promises. And yet that's exactly what he did. You know, it doesn't matter what people predict about us. It doesn't matter even what you predict about yourself. It doesn't matter what life predicts about us. It doesn't matter what the media may be saying about what your future looks like. The only prediction that really matters is what Jesus has to say about you. Because he gets the final say on it all. And the biggest proof of that was the cross and the resurrection. In Matthew 16, verse 21, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life." He was pointing to this beautiful exchange that was actually going to take place. And this was just after Jesus had blessed one of his disciples, Peter, and said he's shown him his future. After Peter had correctly identified that Jesus was the Messiah. But even Peter didn't fully understand the significance of this beautiful exchange and who Jesus was. In Matthew 16, in verses 22, it says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." You see, he was operating out of an earthly prediction, not a godly prediction. And there was something there. One minute Peter's being blessed and told that he's going to be the rock upon which the church is going to be built, and the next minute he's being rebuked by Jesus. You see, even those who were close to Jesus didn't fully understand the significance of what this beautiful exchange would actually mean. They didn't understand that the beautiful exchange would mean that what would seem like defeat in the cross would actually turn out to be ultimate and glorious victory. They didn't understand that when Jesus made a prediction, it wasn't as the world saw it. It wasn't a maybe it will or maybe it won't. He was speaking with all his divine authority, with all his divine assurance, with all his divine purpose. And he was saying a beautiful exchange is about to take place, where it's going to be his life for our life. He's going to build a bridge from the Father to us. And it's going to be initiated by him for us. How much do you think you're worth? How much do you think you're worth when it comes to this divine exchange? Well, I think the answer to that is simply as much as someone's willing to pay for you. Right now, we know global exchange rates all over the place because of the troubles that we're facing right now. And literally, they're changing from hour to hour. They're up, they're down, they're all over the place. And values on this kind of roller coaster. And it can be a bit like that at a personal level as well. Our value that we see in ourselves can, when people like me, my value's up. When people don't like me, my value's down. And we find out we're living life on this emotional roller coaster. But the beautiful exchange that took place on that cross says that my value does not vacillate in God's eyes. My value is fixed. The Bible, this amazing book, tells me that I'm worth the blood of Jesus. And so are you. I'm worth a lot. I'm worth the blood of Jesus. And Jesus loved me so much that he was prepared to die on the cross. And he loved you so much that he was prepared to die on the cross. My sins, your sins, nailed him to that cross. And he lived a blameless life for you and for me. And he rose again after that cross. And if I bow to that, if I defer to that, and I receive that, then I become a new person. I become a new creation. And I have a purpose for living again. I have a victory over sin. And I know that my place in heaven is secure. The cross was a beautiful, glorious, divine exchange that took place. And that leads me to my first point this morning, which is simply this. When we're talking about the cross and the resurrection and its significance in this beautiful exchange, my first point is simply this. We make predictions, but God makes promises. In Luke chapter 22, we find the account of the Last Supper. I spoke about that on Good Friday. And if you want to hear some more, you can go watch that on our YouTube channel. But we spoke about the Last Supper, about that was held with these disciples before the night before he was arrested and tried and sentenced and sent to his death. And three times he predicted that he would die and suffer, but that that would actually usher in the kingdom of God. And I'm sure his disciples were baffled and they were mystified as they couldn't fully comprehend what this prediction was that he was actually talking about. And we find that in verse 31 of Luke chapter 22 that he addresses Peter again. And he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I'm not ready to go with you to prison and death. And Jesus had answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. Jesus predicts. He says, Peter, even though Satan's going to sift you, your faith will not fail. And you're going to turn back. And you're going to encourage your brothers. Because this wasn't just a prediction. This was a prediction with a promise. And Peter tries to resist it. And he kind of says, Lord, I'm not ready to go with you to prison and death. And many of us, sometimes we're resisting the very predictions and promises of God. Because the outcome seems so unexpected. And we're not sure where it's taking us. But I love Jesus' response, because whereas he had started out by calling him by his birth name, Simon, midway in that text, he changes and he calls him by the name Peter. And that's significant. It wasn't just a mistake. He hadn't forgotten his name. He was actually declaring his new name, which meant the rock. And he's reminding him about his new future, the new promise. And he says, even though you're going to deny me three times, Peter, he says, I'm going to make a promise to you. And that promise is going to be reflected in this new name that I give you, because you're going to be the rock upon which I build my church. You know, God doesn't just make predictions about your life. He has promises. And this Easter Sunday, he wants to know that he has a future for you that is good. He has a preferred future that is full of destiny and purpose. And that's what he created you for. And he promises. He doesn't just predict. He doesn't say maybe. He says, so will it be. The wonder of Easter and the resurrection points to the fact that what God promises, God delivers. He promised. that Jesus would rise again from the dead, and that's exactly what took place. He never promised Peter an easy life, but he did promise him that he would have a life full of destiny and full of purpose. And we want that for you, and Jesus wants that for you too. When Jesus died and rose again, he showed that all that had been predicted about him, all that they had said before him, was indeed true. The prediction was actually a promise. Corrie Ten Boom, who was known as a great pioneer of the faith, an amazing woman, I encourage you to go read her personal testimony. It's inspiring. But says this: we need to let God's promises shine on your problems. Many of us may be facing many problems right now. The answer is to let his promises, not predictions, but promises, shine into your problems. Promises of salvation, promises of healing, promises of breakthrough, promises of deliverance, promises of his provision, promises of blessing, promises of restoration, promises of freedom, promises of new life, promises of new hope, promises of a new future, promises of the Holy Spirit, promises of a new family that you find when you come together with the church, promises of forgiveness, promises of wisdom, promises of peace, promises of protection, promises of supplying all of your needs. And I could go on and on and on. What God predicts, he promises. It's not just a prediction, but it's a promise. And that leads me to my second point about the significance of the cross and the resurrection. And it's simply this: it's not if, but when. It's not if, but when. It's not if Jesus rose again from the dead, but when he rose again from the dead. Jesus did what no other person has been able to do. He defied the grave and rose again. He rose himself from the dead. No one else has ever been able to do that. We read about Lazarus a little bit earlier in the service. I referred to Lazarus, and we see that that was just a foretaste of Jesus saying, this is what I'm actually going to do myself. Because Jesus shows that dead is not dead when resurrection life walks into the room. Resurrection is not what he does, it's who he is. And your sins can be forgiven, not because you're good, but because he's good. You can be set free, I can be set free, not because we're strong, but because he's strong. We can feel his presence, not because we deserve it, but because he's simply that good. You can be healed, not because of a formula, but because he is the healer. What Jesus promises, Jesus does. It's not if, but when. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. And says, for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. You see, the evidence was overwhelming, and Paul is so convinced that he actually goes on to say a little bit later in chapter 15, in verse 13, he says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But the empty grave, the grave clothes, the missing body, the countless witnesses, the secular historical records, the changed life of the disciples, all point to the reality that the resurrection happened. Some of you, you might feel dead on the inside. You've lost faith. You've lost hope. You're dead in worry and concern. Maybe it's the delay that's kind of getting you down. Maybe you feel discouraged, or maybe you have doubts. Maybe you feel like you're trapped in a tomb and you don't have the strength to roll the stone away. I want to say to you on this Easter, I want you to remember that Jesus has already rolled the stone away. And the same voice that called Lazarus to come out of the grave is telling you, come out. Come out of your pain. Come out of your doubts. Come out of your hurts. Come out of your disillusionments. Come out of your hopelessness. Come out of your sin. Come out of your mistakes. Come out of your prison. Your sins can be forgiven. Not because you're good or I'm good, but because He's good. It's not if He forgives, but it's when we receive that forgiveness that's ours to inherit. It's not if He loves us, but when you experience it as a living reality and a demonstration of what took place on that cross, which was the ultimate display of love. It's not if He accepts you, but it's knowing that He already has. It's not if He can give you a new start, but when He gives you a new start. It's not if He frees you, but when He frees you. It's not if you have a future, but when you start to live and see it unfolding in your life. And that leads me to my last point, which is simply this. The cross is not a symbol of defeat, but it's a promise of victory. You know, Luke chapter 22, verse 34, Jesus tells Peter, He says, look, when you turn back after denying me, He says, you've got to strengthen your brothers. And what He's telling Peter here is that, Peter, this isn't going to be a defeat for you. This is going to be a victory. And Peter, you're actually going to be the one who's going to spread the news and tell everyone that the very thing that they hoped and dreamed for has taken place. And in Acts chapter 3, we see the same Peter becoming the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost, just after the Holy Spirit is poured out. And he preaches the most incredible sermon. And it says 3,000 people get saved on that one day. You see, defeat had become a victory. And the church exploded with life. All of a sudden, house to house in the temple courts, people are meeting wherever they could. And right now, we're meeting house to house. And I want to say to you, there's resurrection life right where you are, right in your home. And God says the cross was not a sign of defeat, it was a sign of victory. So don't allow defeat to crowd it in you. But stand in the victory that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus. The cross was a sign of defeat for those who were crucified on it. But Jesus turned it into the ultimate statement of victory by turning death into life when He rose again from the dead. And it was that that motivated Peter. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 6, it says, Mary and the other women were going to the grave to go find the body and anoint the dead body of Jesus. And it says they find the tomb empty, and an angel is sitting there. And the angel says to them these words. It says, do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid Him. But go and tell His disciples and listen to this. And Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him just as He told you. All along, Jesus knew that the cross was not going to be a symbol of defeat, but it was going to be a prediction of victory and a demonstration of the power of God. Where the divine conquers the natural and we receive supernatural grace, forgiveness, mercy, and love. Where we receive new life, new hope, a new future, a new heart, new longings. And we receive the gift that we could not earn ourselves. The divine, beautiful, glorious exchange. In Romans chapter 3 verse 23 it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some translations say, God's glorious standard. What's God's glorious standard? Perfection. And His standard is perfection for your life and for my life. But we have a problem because we're sinners and God is holy. But listen to what it says in Romans 3 verse 24. And it says, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The wonder of the cross and the resurrection is about what Jesus has done for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Christ Jesus has freed us by taking away our sins, a beautiful exchange. And the wonder of this exchange is seen in this, that Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life. He wasn't 50% righteous, 70% righteous, 80% righteous, 99% righteous. He was 100% righteous. Because nothing less could have met God's glorious standard. So watch this now. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if he were you and me. A divine exchange. He did that so that he could in turn treat you and me as he did, as if we were Jesus. It's a beautiful exchange. You know, the moment I open my life to Jesus and put out the welcome mat, the moment I abandon my heart to him, the moment I stop the self-construction plan in my life, the moment that I say, God, I'm in trouble, the moment that I say, Jesus, come into my life, what happens? A beautiful exchange takes place. And Jesus moves in and exchanges places with me. And defeat becomes a victory. He exchanges forgiveness for my failures. He exchanges his grace and mercy for my guilt. He exchanges a savior for my sin. And I receive these amazing things and benefits from this divine exchange. And the reality is I've done nothing to deserve it. But I'm simply the object of his great love. And so now when God looks at me, he doesn't see Matt the sinner. He doesn't see you, the sinner. He now sees the righteousness of Jesus. Because a beautiful divine exchange has taken place. And the empty grave seals that deal for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a beautiful exchange. How glorious that we can celebrate that today. You know, you may not feel worthy of that exchange today, but I want to say to you, Jesus still wants to enter into your life. He's paid the price already. But the deal is this, there's a choice. Because remember the definition I spoke about exchange is that there's a giving and a receiving, and he's given it all. Now we need to receive it. He's given his life for ours. And now we have a choice. Are we going to give our life to him? It's a beautiful exchange. And that's the hope that Easter is. I don't know how you find yourself. I don't know where you're at in this time. But hopefully what I've shared with you this morning is something that is really reaching deep in you. Because a beautiful exchange was made for you. Your name was written all over it. Jesus, who is 100% righteous, went to the cross to pay the price for your sins, for my sins. You might say, Matt, but I've done some pretty hectic stuff. Yeah, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. And he said, I still chose to go to the cross for you and to enact that divine exchange where now when God the Father, the Holy Father looks at you, he doesn't see your sin, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus. All you need to do is to receive that into your life, and it's a done deal. It's a done deal. And my prayer for you on this Easter Sunday is that you would truly know the saving work of Jesus, the divine exchange. And so I'm going to ask you right where you are to consider the exchange that's taken place. He's given his life for you. Will you give your life for him? I believe this Easter Sunday could be a significant day for you. You're going to reflect on it and see new life. So that's the day. The divine exchange took place in my life. That beautiful exchange took place in my life. And so maybe you've been in church previously, but you know that you've been far off from God, or maybe you've never done what I'm asking you to do here this morning. It doesn't matter. The divine exchange, the beautiful exchange is there for you if you would just receive it. And so I'm going to ask people right around, whoever's behind these screens in the lounge rooms or wherever it is that you're watching, won't you bow your head and close your eyes and just reflect on what I'm saying right now? Don't worry who's in the room. Don't worry who's watching. It's not about them. This is about you. We've been praying for you. We've been believing that today would be significant for you. Don't miss this moment to receive all that Jesus purchased for you on that cross. When resurrection life walks into the room, dead is no longer dead. You are never too far gone. You are never too far past it for Jesus to redeem and save. Some of you need to hear that this morning, because you'd already discounted yourself. But Jesus is saying to you, you're never too far gone. Today, he wants to engage and transact a divine exchange with you if you would just receive it. And so I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And I invite you just to pray this prayer with me. Just pray it out quietly to yourself, and others around you will be praying this prayer along with you, because we want you to know that you're part of a family. All around the world, Christians are celebrating family. Today, you're entering into that family. And so let's pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I acknowledge my need for you. I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't match up to your righteous standards. I've been trying to find meaning in other things and it hasn't worked out. But today I acknowledge that divine exchange. I acknowledge what you've done on my behalf. I see how you paid the price that I couldn't pay. And today I acknowledge that you gave your life for me. I don't deserve it, but I know that you did it. I'm overwhelmed by your love. And today, I choose you, Jesus. I give my heart to you. I surrender to you. I want to live the rest of my days serving you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. You know, we're so thankful for what you've prayed right there. What an exciting day. What an exciting day for you to know that Jesus has come and reached in and done a transaction in your life. And we're just rejoicing with you, and we'd love to help you in some way. And so why don't you, maybe what you could do, tell someone that you're in the room with what you've done, or maybe drop us a line at the church, or maybe put in something in the comments section of the YouTube or the Facebook live feed, and just something that lets us know that you made that decision today. And if you want to get baptized as a result of that, because the Bible says that the next step is baptism, which is an outward statement of what you've just done right now, seals the deal, then we would love to arrange that for you and do a virtual baptism, as we were talking about earlier, and just be part of that. And so we're celebrating with you. There's people all around the world that are rejoicing with you at the decision that you've made right now. And so thank you for doing that. We're so excited and praise you this morning for the courage to do what you've done.